From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in the book of Joshua as he commences a message entitled, Dealing with Our Achans. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in the third chapter of Lamentations and verse 58. O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Observe how positively the prophet speaks. He does not say, I hope, I trust, I sometimes think that God has pleaded the causes of my soul. But he speaks of it as a matter of fact, not to be disputed. Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Let us, by the aid of the gracious Comforter, shake off those doubts and fears which so much mar our peace and comfort. Be this our prayer, that we may have done with the harsh, croaking voice of surmise and suspicion, and may be able to speak with a clear, melodious voice of full assurance. Notice how gratefully the prophet speaks, ascribing all the glory to God alone. You perceive there is not a word concerning himself or his own pleadings. He does not ascribe his deliverance in any measure to any man, much less to his own merit. But it is Thou, O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. A grateful spirit should ever be cultivated by the Christian, and especially after deliverances, we should prepare a song for our God. Earth should be a temple filled with the songs of grateful saints, and every day should be a censer smoking with the sweet incense of thanksgiving. How joyful Jeremiah seems to be while he records the Lord's mercy. How triumphantly he lifts up the strain. He has been in the low dungeon, and is even now no other than the weeping prophet. And yet in the very book which is called Lamentations, clear as the song of Miriam when she dashed her fingers against the Tabor, shrill as the note of Deborah when she met Barak with shouts of victory, we hear the voice of Jeremiah going up to heaven, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul, Thou hast redeemed my life. O children of God, seek after a vital experience of the Lord's loving kindness, and when you have it, speak positively of it, sing gratefully, shout triumphantly.
Cheerful heart that tastes those gifts with joy. praise shouts, glory, glory, hallelujah. I will praise God forever. I will shout aloud and sing, shouts, glory, glory, hallelujah. I will praise God forever. I will shout aloud and sing, shouts, glory, 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 hallelujah.
Soon it will be the time of year when the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas, written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer. The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Chapter 7 of the book of Joshua recounts Israel's defeat at the city of Ai, a disaster brought about by the sin of one man, Achan. Returning to this chapter, Dr. Cairns takes another look at this man whose greed ultimately destroyed himself and his family. Dr. Cairns applies the sin of Achan to the lives of God's people, showing how a single sin, embraced and unconfessed, can halt progress in the Christian's life. God calls his people to lives of well-rounded holiness. No area of life is exempt from the command to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. May the Lord give us hearts that are sensitive and obedient to His Word. Now to bring the opening portion of this message, Dealing with Our Achans, here is Dr. Cairns.
Today I want to look once again at the story of Achan. We have considered this in a couple of ways, but today I want to take a completely different look at Achan. I want to consider the whole body of the people of God, that is, Israel, with Achan as one member. I want to consider it as the picture of an individual Christian. I want you to keep that in mind for all that's to follow. Looking at Israel with Achan as a member, we want to think in picture form of the individual Christian with a diseased member. And the simple truth that I want to point out, something that's very much on the surface of Scripture, but I think we do well to ponder deeply, is that as the progress of the entire nation was halted by sin in one member, so the progress of a Christian is halted by sin in one member. Now, that's the truth that I want us to consider today. And I want us, therefore, to take a look again at this passage in the light of all Scripture and come to the great subject of dealing with our Achans. Now, with that brief introduction, I want us to think, first of all, of this truth, that God calls us to a well-rounded holiness that affects every part of us and every part of our lives. Israel was not commanded to be generally holy, mostly holy, or partly holy. When the armies of Israel went in to capture the city of Jericho, the Lord gave a commandment that reached to every individual soldier. There was a call to an obedience that was particular and all-embracing. Each member of that body of men going into battle had to be aware. God said, "Thou shalt not take of the accursed thing, because if you do, you yourself will be accursed of God. You will come under sentence of death." So this was a command to universal holiness throughout all the ranks of the armies of Israel. And in similar fashion, you and I are not called to be merely holy in a general sort of way, but we are called to be holy in a very specific way. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. If I could give the literal force of his words, he says, "We should cleanse ourselves from every defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now that's a statement of obligation. It's a statement of the divine will. It's a statement that every Christian must take the deepest regard for. We should cleanse ourselves from every defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now that is something that is so general and yet so particular, that every part of our life is included. The personal life is included. Our thought life is included. Our home life is there. Our church life, our business life, the seen life, and the secret life. Every part of the Christian's life is included in that divine obligation. We should cleanse ourselves from every defilement in every part of life, whether relating to flesh or to spirit. When you look at the Bible, you will see that every member of the body is included. That's not to say that sin is merely physical, but the Scripture uses the members of the body, first of all, as the physical instruments whereby we commit sin or we pursue holiness. But also it uses the physical members of the body to remind us of the motions of the will that lie behind them. For example, we are told that we should not yield, as we read in Romans 6:13 this morning, our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. He says, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He talks about our hands. Now, our hands speak of our actions or of our deeds. And we are to be holy in all our actions. And Paul speaks of Christians lifting up holy hands unto God without wrath or doubting. These are to be hands that in all their actions are marked by biblical holiness. The apostle told the Thessalonians to study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you. James told the Christians to whom he was writing to draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And he said, cleanse your hands. If you're going to draw nigh to God, then you must have clean hands and a pure heart. The actions of the Christian are to be actions of holiness. That's why the Lord Jesus said, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. So he speaks about our hands. I don't have time this morning to go through the Scripture and show you the various things that the Christian's hands are supposed to do. Generally, we can say that our hands are to work purity. They are to serve the Lord with power. What is that in thine hand? That's the question the Lord asked Moses, and he asks you and me. What is that in thine hand? Sometimes he finds there things that ought not to be there. He finds in our hands things which are unclean, ungodly, unspiritual, and unchristlike. Things that are hindering our service for God. Sometimes, as in the case of Moses, he finds there things that to us appear to be of very little moment, very little importance. Moses only had a stick in his hand. We come to the Lord so often, and our excuse is, I can't serve the Lord very well. I don't have much education. I don't have much talent. I don't have much ability. I have only this. The Lord says, what is it in your hand? And though it only be a stick, I can use it. That little rod in the hand of Moses became the most potent emblem of God's moving in the whole nation. So we are to serve the Lord with power. Those hands are to lift up the fallen. Those hands are to receive one another, as the Apostle Paul put it. So our hands are to be hands of holiness. Our feet are also to be marked with holiness. That's, of course, a reference to our walk. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Apostle John said, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, and he said that we are to walk worthy of the vocation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went on to tell them that we are to walk in love, and then we are to walk in light. Now, here is the holiness that's to mark the walk of a Christian in a dark and unclean world. if you're going to do the right thing, if you're going to walk in the right way, then you should pay attention to what the Bible says about the eyes of the godly man. The psalmist said in Psalm 101 and verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now, obviously, the reference there is I will develop no wicked purpose. I am not going to set an evil purpose before me and to pursue it. But we can also see in those words something that goes to the very heart of much modern living. We live in a world in which we are bombarded with the images of wickedness and uncleanness and lasciviousness. And we are told that the purpose of the child of God is, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. So often God's people gaze and gaze and gaze again at the unclean. And then they wonder why they lose out with God. I always remember the words of the great Indian preacher Jordan Khan when he first came to Northern Ireland. And I had opportunity to hear him preach. I've often said that under God, that time changed my life and changed my ministry. One thing that he said was regarding this whole matter of the use of the eyes. He says, the first look, and he's talking now about seeing things that are wicked and unclean and ungodly. The first look may be innocent. We have no control over what comes before our eyes many times. But the second look is sin. That puts it very simply. Maybe puts it very severely. Is it any more severe than the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart? To look again, to look with lust on any sin is the commission of that sin in the sight of God. If our walk and our works and indeed our gaze and our longing are all to be controlled, then we must hear. The reference to the ears in Scripture is very clear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's a frequently recorded injunction from heaven. 8 times in the ministry of Christ, 8 times from his throne in heaven, he says this same thing. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. When he's speaking of the parable of the sower, as it's called, or the parable of the 4 kinds of soil into which the seed fell, he said, take heed that ye hear. Take heed what ye hear, and take heed how ye hear. It's very, very important that we hear. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it, said the Lord Jesus. Hearing here is obviously obeying. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. I looked through the Old Testament as I was thinking of this, at the great number of places where the Holy Ghost has laid on record the command, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. It occurs again and again and again. And if we're ever going to look out on this world with eyes of purity and walk in this world with feet of purity and work in this world with hands of purity, then we're going to have an ear that's tuned not to the wavelength of the world, but to the wavelength of heaven. We're going to have ears that are open to the word of God, so that we're always like Samuel, ready to say, speak, for thy servant heareth. When we hear, what goes in will come out. The scripture speaks much about the mouth of the child of God. Time would forbid that we go through the book of Proverbs seeing the glorious and beautiful things that are said about the mouth and the lips of the child of God. But on this matter of holiness, we could sum it all up in the words of the psalmist. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. That's the negative side. The positive side. Mark 5 and 19. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. There you've got the negative. Keep your mouth and your lips from sin, from gossip, from uncleanness, from wickedness, from questionable things. And use your lips, use your tongue to tell forth the glorious story of grace and redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.